Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by Jamie Crummy from Too Good To Go. Too Good To Go are fighting food waste. Through their app, you can buy a magic bag and save food that would otherwise be wasted. They've been a certified B Corp for about 2 years, I think. Jamie Crummy is a co-founder of Too Good To Go, was one of Forbes 30 Under 30 in 2019, well done, and One Young World Entrepreneur of the Year in 2020. So welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you very much for having me. And I appreciate reading all those embarrassing accolades up. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, I've got to make you feel good before I ask you the hard questions. So that's good. So I guess starting with it's food waste. And I'm always interested as to why people start that particular business and not something else. So why not plastic waste or ocean protection or any one of these other big areas? Why was it food waste that kind of, you know, was the area you went down?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, Mike. And, you know, for me, I guess my journey into food waste is probably slightly different from many of my food waste comrades, I guess. I didn't grow up on a farm. You know, my parents weren't chefs, so it wasn't that I was sort of experiencing food waste firsthand.
Yeah.
But what my parents did instill me was a passion and a drive for social justice. So that's been something that's always, I guess, been a feature or been a fabric of myself and my being. And I first really encountered food waste when I was living out in Australia. And it was here I was working in the events industry,
yeah,
alongside working in human rights at the time. And it was here I was experiencing just, you know, disgusting amounts of food waste, essentially. And it was 150 litre bin after 150 litre bin just filled with, you know, what I viewed as perfectly edible food.
Yeah.
And that itself became this question to myself, you know, was this something that was unique to the organization I worked for? Was it unique to the event industry? Was it, you know, unique to Australia? And, you know, the more digging around I did and more I spoke to people, you know, I quickly realized that food waste was a much bigger problem that I saw. So it all sort of spiraled from there, and I can really pinpoint it to a particular event. But if you want me to give the long story, I can.
Well, no, just really, so it was, so it sounds like there was a kind of an underlying concern and interest in issues, but seeing it firsthand as part of your job just made you stop and think, what is going on here? Why? Are we doing that? And I mean, for listeners that don't know, I mean, I've, in a former life, I was a professional musician, so I did lots of big events and played lots of events and saw the catering and everything that went on. So I saw some of this. But for listeners that may not know, maybe give them a picture of the kind of waste that you're talking about that's associated with an event, because they may not know. It may not, you know, be something they've seen.
Yeah, and the events that I was doing is something that typically I wouldn't have envisaged with such grand levels of food waste. But it was civil service for, you know, large events of a couple hundred people. So my claim to fame was I waited on Richard Branson's table.
Okay.
Which was always quite fun. Interestingly enough, actually, he came to my primary school back in the 90s, so he didn't actually remember me. So,
what's the matter with him? I mean, why didn't he remember you?
Yeah.
I've got a Richard Branson story, but maybe for another time.
So it was I look forward to hearing that. Yeah, it was the food that we were doing was silver service food, and what tended to be the common practice there was essentially cooking a buffet. You know, when you're doing covers for a couple hundred people, you know, something can go wrong in the kitchen. 9 times out of 10, everything goes swimmingly and according to plan.
Yeah.
But there would be times when an oven, would crash, things would be undercooked or overcooked, which is where this surplus was for, this safety net. But as I say, 9 times out of 10, everything went according to plan. And so, you know, it was up to myself and my colleagues just to throw this food away. And it never seemed right at all, because there wasn't a solution. You know, it wasn't fed to staff. It wasn't redistributed. It was just put straight into a big green bin.
And it's almost set up from the start to be wasted. It's not like accidental wastage. It's, we're putting it here, and the ideal situation is that this spare bit gets wasted.
Yeah, completely, right? Yeah. Ideal situation is everything goes well, and this safety net we've made just gets thrown away.
Wow. And so moving on to Too Good To Go, how did that come about?
Well, I guess, you know, as it essentially sort of manifested from my own sort of journey into food waste. I was actually doing an event with Amnesty International a couple of years after my time in Australia. And, you know, again, you know, we had an event and it was catered for by a organization who were rescuing the food, much like that food I was throwing away in Australia, and repurposing it. And it was speaking to these guys and girls just about the gravity and scale of the issue of food waste. And I was dumbfounded. You know, someone, as I say, who was motivated by social justice and environmental justice, I was dumbfounded that I was completely in the dark as to the scale and gravity of the issue. So it compelled me to do something. And I got thinking, you know, not everybody wants to go dumpster diving. How could we facilitate a situation where people could rescue that food before it hits the bin?
Okay, so how does the solution work? Because I saw the app based thing, but that takes quite a while to develop something like that. Did it always come, with an app driving it, or was there another system you had before that? And, you know, how did that evolve?
Yeah, that's a funny story, Mike. No, we started and we have the app exactly as it's seen today. You know,
of course you did. That's how these things work.
Yeah, no, blinked in it and it just appeared. We started off actually with a website first, and it wasn't the best website. Let's just put it like that.
Got to start somewhere.
we were trying to convince ourselves that, you know, no one actually used apps. You know, we'd carry on with a website. It was much more cost effective. Yeah. But we actually ended up then joining forces with another group of entrepreneurs around Europe. And we launched the app then, or we built an app and then launched it in Copenhagen first. And then launched it here in the UK alongside France and Norway. So, it's been one hell of a journey. But yeah, it didn't always start off as an app. As I say, it was a very limited website. Let's just call it that.
So, I mean, we'll obviously put links in the show page for people to go and have a look and check out what Too Good To Go are doing. But just explain briefly how it works. So, you know, there's obviously the front end, people are using an app, and then there's obviously the I'll call it the back end, but, you know, suppliers, people with food that, you know, would otherwise go to waste. How do those two things come together?
Sure. Well, I'll just give a brief description then of how Too Good To Go works. And, you know, we are a social impact company which, unsurprisingly, are fighting food waste, and we predominantly do this through our app, through our marketplace. And what this does, it connects consumers or individuals, much like myself and you, with businesses who have surplus food. So a user will log on to the Too Good To Go app, they'll see a list of participating businesses and purchase what we refer to as a magic bag. And they collect this from the business during an allotted collection window and pay a reduced price.
Okay. And so, I mean, there's some big name brands that I think I saw that you're working with. I see the likes of Morrisons, Pret A Manger, and various other well-known household names. So, and does it, you just go and pick it up from your local branch of Pret or Morrisons? You just, is that how it
pretty
works?
Pretty much, Mike. It's, wow. You know, as I say, this concept of a magic bag, you probably, well, the listeners are probably wondering, you know, what on earth is a, what is a magic bag? Mm. It's not something from Harry Potter, I assure you. But no, it's a piece of fun. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, food waste is very much connected to the effects of climate change. And we're trying to make something to fight climate change fun and engaging. Mm. So when a consumer goes and collects a magic bag from Pret A Manger, for example, they don't know exactly what food they're going to get because it's just whatever food is left over come the end of service. But you can be pretty darn sure it's going to be something, you know, it's going to be a sandwich or a wrap or a salad bowl,
or whatever it is. Yeah,
exactly. Something of description that Pret serve. And as I say, it's all around this notion of reducing food waste. Yeah.
And there are quite a number of companies around doing, you know, some of the veg box companies and some of the meat box companies. And you don't always know what you're going to get. You know the type of thing, and then you pay for your box or your bag and you go and pick it up. And then I guess that's, you know, part of the fun is that, you know, it's a surprise every time you open it and you think, well, what am I getting today? But then part of it is also, you know, making do and using that, what would otherwise be left over.
We've had lots of our consumers sort of describe it as a Forrest Gump movie, you know, it's life is like a box of chocolates type thing. It is fun, and you know, as I say, that's part of what we're trying to achieve is making fighting food waste and thus fighting climate change something which is fun and something which is engaging.
Mm. And where do you see this going? Because I know it's that Too Good To Go has a movement, and there's a number of things that you want to achieve, I notice, on that movement page. And it looks very much like the start of a B Corporation impact report, which we'll come on to in a minute.
Right.
But there's, you know, what is the future? What is the movement? Where are you, you know, where would you like this to go?
Sure. So, well, when I talk about Too Good To Go, I often try and outline what our vision is and what our mission is.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, we're a social impact company fighting food waste, and our vision or our dream is a planet with no food waste. And our mission on how to get there is to inspire and empower people to fight food waste together. Mm. So for us, it's, you know, we do dream big, but we see it very much as a collaborative exercise. And I mentioned as well, I've explained how the app works, but what our app allows us to do is fuel our movement around food waste. It fuels these initiatives, which we do. So it's the, you know, it's the work that we do with schools. So whether that's a partnership with, you know, the FAO to create various different pieces of educational content to inspire and empower children. It's work we do with businesses outside of the app. So it could be webinars and things like that. Mm. It's the work we do with households and the work we do in public affairs, which is to, you know, try and spark policy change and shake up our food system.
Yeah. So it's a much wider thing. That whole, you know, community education piece seems to be quite an important part of that movement.
Yeah, precisely, Mike. So it's creating an environment, I guess, where food waste becomes part of public discourse. Mm. You know, it's involved in, you know, that mainstream fabric of conversation, so that, you know, as I say, we can inspire and empower, you know, individuals, businesses, politicians to work collaboratively together to thus help our environment at the same time.
Yeah. And I mean, it isn't, you're right, it isn't part of everyday public discourse, because I talk about it, you talk about it, we're in the kind of the, let's call it the sustainability space, but most people don't talk about it. I want to come on to B Corps now specifically. So what was it that, you know, drew you to becoming a B Corp and certifying as a B Corp?
Well, I guess, you know, the main thing is sort of the B Corp headline, isn't it? These are, you know, it's a community of businesses which are doing something good for society and good for the planet. And, you know, from day dot, our whole business plan, our whole business model is surrounded around doing something positive for the environment. Yeah. So we ourselves find ourselves in a unique and fortunate situation where the better that we do at Too Good To Go, and the main thing is rescuing meals. So the more meals that we rescue through the platform, the better it is for the planet, but also it allows us to grow as well. So I guess that there is been the main driving force, is that we always wanted to be in a community of businesses which were striving to do something good and accelerating this global shift to essentially, like, you know, redefine success in business and build a more inclusive and sustainable economy.
Yeah, I mean, many of the people we're speaking to in these interviews, they were kind of B Corps before they were B Corps.
And it sounds like you're kind of... yeah, I think that's probably a good way of terming it.
Yeah, and so in terms of the assessment certification process, was that smooth for you? Was it, did you have some difficulties? Were there some areas that you struggled with, or was it kind of plain sailing and you just went straight through it and it was okay?
I think I would probably be embellishing a little bit too much if I said it was total plain sailing. I think with every application you can do, it faces its own challenges.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the great thing about being a B Corp is, you know, the standards in which it holds you to, you know, we're continuously trying to become a better business and using business as a force for good. So it's, you know, as I say, it's a great standard to keep ourselves to.
Yeah. And anybody listening, go and have a look at the movement page. We'll link it up, because if you want an idea of how B corporations do their and measure their impact, you guys have got absolutely it laid out there. We want to get 75,000 people and businesses, and we want to reach 500 schools, and we want to reach these things. So that's, you know, it just shows you the sorts of impacts and the sorts of things that B Corps are trying to do. Now,
yeah, precisely, Mike, and that's... Oh, apologies there.
No.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's really what it is we're trying to do, is having an impact all the way across society. So it's not just an impact through our platform itself, but always looking at different ways in which we can, you know, achieve this vision of a planet with no food waste by, you know, inspiring and empowering people from schools to households, you know, to businesses themselves, as well as to try and shake up our political system too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Jamie, we've been asking all our guests for a tip. If there's one thing you think listeners could go away and do today, what would it be? What would you say, go and do this one thing?
Reduce food waste.
Simple, isn't it?
And that's pretty broad. But what I haven't mentioned to you, Mike, is you know, we are in this climate emergency. And you know, a third of all food produce ends up getting wasted. And food waste itself, or reducing food waste itself, is the number one solution for reversing the effects of climate change. And that there has come out of the drawdown report in March 2020. So yeah, no, not only is reducing food waste something which makes you feel good, and it's something which fun when you're using Too Good To Go, but it's something that is of paramount importance in the climate emergency which we find ourselves in today.
Yeah, we expend so much energy making.
So my tip
food.
Is reduce food waste.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And I say we spend so much energy and water and resources making the food, and then to throw it away just seems it is criminal. We've also been asking our guests if there's a book or a film or a resource or something like that they think listeners should go and have a look at. So anything you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, I do have my favourite book, actually. And it's unsurprisingly, actually, or surprisingly, I should say, it's not one which is related to food waste. So, you know, you probably think that I'd have, I'd have some sort of food waste book beside my bed every night. But it's not a food waste book, and it's not a climate change book, but it's one more about general society. And, you know, what has been, I guess, it's been super intrinsic in shaping my own sort of belief systems and the way I conduct myself. But it's Robert Trussell's Ragged Trousered Philanthropist. That there would be my big book recommendation for anyone.
Okay. And what's that sort of about? I mean, it's not something I've heard of. It's is it just a...
Oh, you're missing out, Mike.
All of these books, I've got a very long reading list after this month. But yeah, I'll check it out. We'll look it up. We'll put a link on the show page for people to check it out. But what should they expect if they go and look at a copy of this book?
They should expect to be inspired. It's thought-provoking, but it also makes you question the way in which our social system is conveyed at the moment. So it's set in a fictional town in the UK at the turn of the century. As I say, it makes you think about leadership. It makes you think about business, and I think, you know, in the context of a B Corp, and in the with this being B Corp month, this is a really important book to get people thinking around how businesses should behave and treat their staff importantly.
Great, thank you. I mean, a really interesting recommendation, and not, as you say, not route one, a book about, you know, don't throw food away, something to get us and the listeners thinking. Brilliant. So before we go on to fact or fake, what's the best way for listeners to get hold of you? If they think we really like what we've heard, we like the sound of what Too Good To Go are doing, what's the best route?
Well, they can contact me directly. I'll give you my mobile number.
You might edit that out.
What I'd say is download the Too Good To Go app and get rescuing and food through the platform today. It is something that is super fun. It's something that is super engaging. But also head to our website. As you've mentioned, Mike, check out the movement page. Yeah. There's a whole host of resources with tips and tricks on how to reduce food waste, but also resources for young children as well. So if you're at home and you're homeschooling, you'll find some nifty little lesson plans on there too.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we'll link all those up on the show page, and we'll put links out to the app and things like that, so people know where to find them and to Too Good To Go social and things like that. So great. So now time for fact or fake. And normally when we play this on the regular podcast with Russell, I do reasonably well. But however, in B Corp month, I seem to have been losing more than I'm winning. So I've got three statements for you, Jamie, and all you have to do is tell me whether they are a
fact. I'm just going to give you a disclosure though, Mike. I have been awful in all of these like lockdown quizzes.
Brilliant. So, I've got a chance of winning for once then. Brilliant. So these are either...
I'm going to be embarrassed if there are food waste questions in here and I get them completely wrong. So
well, there we go. So I'm going to read you a statement. It's either true, a fact, or I've made it up and it's a fake. Okay, so the first one. If food waste were a country, it would be the fourth largest greenhouse gas emitter behind China, US and India. Is that a fact or is it a fake?
That is a fake fact. The correct answer would be if food waste was a country, it would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter.
Absolutely. After the US and perfect China. Perfect answer. Absolutely perfect. It would. I mean, that's a scary fact, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. What I didn't mention earlier actually is that food waste contributes to around about 8 to 10% of all greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a frightening amount.
It is, yeah.
More
yeah,
than
yeah.
the aviation industry combined.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like I might be doomed to defeat here because you obviously know your food waste facts for that explanation. So next one. Half of all produce is thrown away in the US because it is deemed too ugly to eat. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
Half it of is all a produce. Fake, Mike. It's 40%.
It's actually, it is half. 50% of all produce thrown away because it's too ugly. It's just astounding, isn't it? We don't like the look of it.
Sorry, so I'm going to throw it away. I can't believe I've got that one.
Well, that's one each. That's fine. That's one each.
There we go. I'll hang my head in shame.
We have a decider. So the final one for victory. 47% of people don't know the difference between use by and best before dates.
Now, I would like to do a little poll and see if you know the difference between a use by and a best before.
Yeah, well, I do because I've been doing some research.
Yeah,
such an interesting poll, yeah. Isn't it?
It is a true answer.
So 47% of people don't know the difference between use by and best before, and I've snatched a victory from the jaws of defeat because actually it's much higher, 63%. So you know. Getting on for 2/3 of people don't know the difference between used by and best before, which is astounding, isn't it? Would you like to inform the listeners or shall I? What is the difference between used by and best before for those that are listening?
No, I gave you that one there, Mike. Yeah,
you did.
I give it to you.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
No, and we launched a campaign earlier this year. So back in January, we launched a date label campaign here in the UK, which is all around communicating the difference between a use by and a best before date. Because as you rightly point out, there is so much confusion around what best before and use by means that in the UK, 180,000 tons every single year. 180,000 tons of edible food is thrown away every single year on account of about £500 million. So a use by is a safety metric, and this means that once food has gone past its use by date, it's no longer safe to eat, whereas a best before is a quality guidance metric. So if food has gone past its best before, it's still perfectly safe to eat. It just, you know, might not taste as nice as it once did. So
it's just that the
I can
the
big... confirm. I put the best before test to the ultimate test earlier this year. Actually, Mike, I got a like one of those Covent Garden soups.
Okay, things. Yeah.
And it went past its best before date in November 2020.
Yeah.
And back in February 2021, I wanted to prove a point that it was still perfectly safe to eat, and I can tell you what, and it still tasted
you're
delicious.
Still here to tell the story.
I'm still here.
There we are.
It just probably needed a bit more salt was all, but no, it was still
proof
great.
If proof were needed, but I mean, that's brilliant, helpful information for listeners there. Best before dates, they're purely guidance only and advisory, and so ignore them if you want used by a little bit different, but great, brilliant. Jamie, it's been an absolute pleasure to find out more about Too Good To Go today, and as I say, we'll link those up so people do go and find out, download the app, give it a go. I'll be doing that, and I'll be interested to report what comes in my first bag, so that'll be really, really good fun. It's been great to speak to you, and wish you all the best with it in the future.
Brilliant, thanks so much for having me on the show there.
We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the other 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit our website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.